What's going on, everyone? Robert from the Remote Control here, and with me today, as always, as every week, is Colton Bird.
Here's the new audio guy.
Hey! Audio!
Notice how I forgot to pause it.
Or you could, yeah, whatever. So, this week, we're going to cover a bunch of things. Well, you know, we're going to talk about the It movie, because we did both go and see it.
Wait, which It? I told you I'm going to be busting nuts with grammar.
It film, you know, 2017.
Yes.
You know, that thing, the film, the horror film, clown, Pennywise.
Suspense
thriller. Yeah. We're also going to talk about some music. I know people have been asking, like, hey, we want to hear more music and stuff like that in the group and on the podcast and stuff. So I am going to bring up a little bit of music news that's coming out this week. We're going to talk a little video game, and we're also going to talk about a little bit of TV season, since the TV, you know, season is upon us. And then I have a rant that I want to get into shortly. So
he won't tell me what it is, so it's going to be a surprise for everybody.
So, all right, what we're going to start off with is music. This past week, I was doing what I normally do. I just sit on the computer, listen to YouTube, you know, whether it's music or, you know, weird shorts like Battlefield Friends, stuff like that. Like, I literally find myself at least once a week jumping on YouTube and just going down the rabbit hole, and you just find one thing after another after another, you know?
And the next thing you know, it's 4 hours later, and you're like, I should have been in bed 2 hours ago.
Exactly. So last week, Colton played a song by The Killers, The Man. It's an older song.
It's not that old.
No, it's not that old.
It's like beginning of the year old.
But I never heard it before. I was like, whoa, this is awesome. So I started listening to that.
You know what's funny? I played that song one other time for you, and you judged me for it.
Really?
Remember when we went to Battlegrounds?
No.
It came on when we were driving home.
Really?
And you were like, what's this? This is ass. And I was like, no, it's The Killers. It's good.
Well, now I'm addicted to that song. But
you're welcome.
But after that song came on, another song came on. It was by the Foo Fighters. I'm a big Foo Fighters fan. I knew that a new album was coming out because I heard their first single that they put out, Run. I wasn't a big fan of Run.
Some may say it was a slight jog.
it felt just... Don't get me wrong, I like the slower and the more you know, serious tone that the Foo Fighters will have sometimes with some of their music. Run, for me, just didn't do it. Like, it hasn't done it for me. So I wasn't excited about that, but I was interested to see what was coming out. I did not realize that another song had come out this past week, and it's their next single. Yeah, it's their next single called The Sky's a Neighborhood. And Colton's going to play a little bit of it here right now.
Yeah, we're going to test out these audio skills.
Let's see if he's any good at it. I absolutely am addicted to this song. This song is fantastic. It's different. It feels Foo Fighters, but it doesn't feel Foo Fighters, and that's what I really like about it. And
I'm just pausing it so we don't get trademarked.
The album actually comes out this Friday, September 15th, and it's now a must-pick-up for me just because of this song.
Don't you love albums or songs that are like that?
Yeah.
You're just like, I'm going to buy the album for one song, and then you end up loving the entire album.
Exactly. And I've been... Over the past 15, 20 years, I've been a huge Foo Fighters fan. Oh. So
wow, I can't relate to that. Maybe like 10 to 15.
I mean, I love the Foo Fighters. I think this song is great. It's otherworldly feeling and stuff like that. And
it feels very poppy without being poppy.
Yeah, yeah. The music video is really trippy, too. It's the band is on top of a roof. Like a barn type of thing, but
their eyes are glowing.
Yeah, their eyes are glowing, and underneath is like a bedroom setup where there's two little girls down there, and they're reading a book of the lyrics, and just crazy things start happening. They start floating and spinning, and it's really trippy, really, really cool. The music is great, and if you're wondering what the music like, I was like, what the hell is this song about? I was like, it's crazy, it's so good, but I need to know what it's about. Because that's what I do. When it comes to music, if I really like a song...
You want to know anything about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I got to figure out anything and everything about it. So, you know, I started doing some research. I was like, I'm probably not going to find anything. The song literally just came out last week.
Yeah.
But let me see what I can find. And there was an article by an interview that Dave Grohl did. I can't remember if it was Rolling Stone or Variety or something like that. And
insert music magazine here.
And he just talks about how they finished recording the album. They were just about done, you know, with it. And he was sitting on a beach, I believe in Hawaii, just laying on the beach at night. And he's sitting there like, I have one more song in me. I know I have one more song in me. And he was just looking up at the stars. And the song came to him. And he based it kind of around a Neil deGrasse Tyson, the black astronomer guy. he based
we should
around
have like, fact-checked that before we started.
he says it's based on like an episode of one of those crazy astronomy shows that he's done, whether it was Cosmos or something like that. He said that it's just so interesting. And if you really listen to it, I mean, and watch the video, which Dave Grohl actually directed the video of it.
It's interesting. I like it.
It's cool. It's interesting. And the song is just catchy.
And
it's fun.
Simple.
It's very simple. Yeah. So check it out if you haven't heard it yet. Heard just a little bit of it here a couple minutes ago.
And you heard the chorus, the catchiest part.
Yeah. Check out the video. The Sky is a Neighborhood. And pick up their album this Friday. Because I'm
Concrete
sure
and Gold.
Awesome.
Concrete
Gold is the album. Yes.
Concrete and Gold.
Concrete and Gold. And also of note, not only on the album is it the Foo Fighters, but he will have guest artists on the album, such as Justin Timberlake and Paul McCartney.
Ooh.
So it's interesting, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah, at least you got two good artists, not like Justin Bieber or something.
I'm going to move forward here. this past week, I know that you've been excited for it. Me, not so much, because the first one just absolutely ruined it for me. But Destiny 2 came out.
Yes.
What can you tell me and everybody about it? If you haven't played it yet, Destiny is a video game made by Bungie. Bungie was the original creators of the video game franchise Halo. When they separated their ways from Microsoft, they created their first game after that, which was called Destiny. Destiny was supposed to be this massive multiplayer online first-person shooter game, stuff like that. It didn't quite turn into being that. It had its things where it was fun. Yeah, there were some moments that I felt were like, hey, this is cool. It felt very Halo still, which makes sense, but it fell flat because it was just very repetitive, the same thing over and over again. So Destiny 1, I got to like level 12 and I was like, done, and I sold it, got rid of it. Destiny 2 came out this week, and what is your opinion on it? Because I haven't played it.
So everything you just said, completely fixed. There's a story now, very good story. They have a better leveling system. It's easier, but not so much easier. Like, leveling up's easier. The world is way more massive. They force you to explore it. They don't give you a sparrow. Were you that far in Destiny 1?
Yeah.
They don't give you a sparrow until the end of the game.
Oh, really?
From what I've heard. I haven't beat the... I'm not at end game. I'm taking my time with it. But you don't get a sparrow, so they force you to explore. It's good. They fixed everything that was wrong with Halo 1. Or Halo. God damn it. Destiny 1.
That's good. I know John, who was a guest on one of our podcasts before, he's a huge Destiny fan, and he's been playing it since it came out, and he says it's fantastic, and he's really enjoyed it. I might check it out. I know you have it for the PlayStation, so I can't borrow your copy, but...
Everybody that I've talked to has played it from, like, Game Vault, GameStop. Everybody's at Endgame, and it's been out for maybe 5 days. At that point in time, it was 2 days, and everybody was at Endgame.
Yeah, which is... That means it's a much shorter game, but... I don't know. The one thing,
this one focuses more on grinding.
And the thing Bungie does is expansions.
Yeah.
You know, they love giving you expansions. I mean, that started all the way back with Halo 2. You know, it was just expansion after expansion after expansion.
Well, weren't those all like multiplayer maps, though?
Yeah.
Which was, I mean.
Back then, though, I mean, you think of the mid 2000s, I mean, multiplayer for consoles was just really getting big. So that's what it was. But Destiny 2 came out, and I don't know. What's the next big game that you're looking forward to at this point?
Assassin's Creed. I'm an Assassin's Creed fan.
I think for me, the biggest one is Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront.
I'm still a little... You know,
I have it pre-ordered and paid off.
I'm still chafed from the last time, all right?
I have faith in it. I think they learned. Because, like, the first one, might as well say, was a beta for this one.
Yeah, basically. They definitely had to rush it. You know, Lucasfilm was like, we want a game, and we want it now. And EA was like,
DLC!
All right!
Microtransactions.
Exactly. So it was a bunch of bullshit. The next one, though, you know...
This one looks like they took their time with it, and they polished a turd.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully it's not a turd anymore, though. Hopefully they polish it to be
diamond.
Gold.
No, Pearl. It's a Pearl.
Pearl, maybe, whatever. But I think the thing I'm most excited about is they got rid of buying the expansions. It's like, yes, you're going to buy the game, you're going to get the expansions.
That's how all, well, not all games, but if you're going to add important things, you shouldn't have to pay for it. Like story?
Yeah.
You shouldn't
have to pay for it. Well, here's my thing. Here's my thing. Look, I can understand releasing things as time goes on. Yeah. That's why I don't mind, like, when I buy, like, Battlefield and stuff like that, if I have the money, I will buy the $100, you know,
yeah,
package.
Yeah, the edition.
That way I get everything, you know? Yeah. Just be honest and upfront with it, with everybody, and just say, look, this is the game, but make the game good.
Yeah.
You know, if the game is good, if the game has, you know, substance, and I can sit there for 6 months and play and not be like, man, I need more, I want more.
That's a good game.
That's a good game.
Especially
and
nowadays.
And I will be fine spending an extra $15-$20 on DLC if I haven't gotten the whole season pass.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that we've seen over the past, you know, 5 or so years, even maybe 10 years. Games just aren't good.
Yeah,
you
know, they release half-assed games.
Exactly. They're mediocre and they're not done. You know, one game that, I can bring up, and I know a lot of people are going to hate me for saying this, but Rainbow Six Siege.
No, I agree.
It was a decent game when it came out. It was fun. But I got bored with it very quickly. And then they start bringing out... bored with it after 3 months. You know, we're 2 years into the game, and they're still bringing stuff out, but it's just like, I got bored with it almost 2 years ago. I don't want to go back to it. Like, if I would have stayed enthralled with it and having fun, I'd still be playing it today. The Division is another one.
I quit playing The Division.
My point exactly, you know?
It wasn't my type of game to begin with.
Which is bizarre, because it's very Destiny-like.
Yeah, I don't know. There was something about it. So, I didn't like it.
Yeah. But that's another one. You know, I was real excited. I played the beta. I got the game day one. I was sitting there playing it for months, and it just was like, all right, I don't want to spend $15 to keep playing.
Yeah.
Because it isn't that good.
That's my beef with WoW. You have to pay your monthly subscription, or yearly, or whatever, and then you have to go and buy the DLC. Like, if I'm paying you $20 a month, I shouldn't have to go out and spend $60 to buy the DLC for it. You should just give it to me for free.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And that was also my beef with... I think that's what Call of Duty's problem is. Their campaign's, what, like 4 hours long now?
If that.
Yeah, and then, like, you play multi... Like, people, they just don't even touch story. They play multiplayer and... Well, I guess I can say zombies now. Because zombies has become pretty much in every Call of Duty game at this point. Because it's the only thing keeping the franchise alive, but... So like, they'll have the microtransactions, and then they'll release zombie maps, and then they'll release multiplayer maps. But where, like, fix your story. Don't throw stuff in my face.
Yeah.
Fix what's wrong with your franchise.
Very true. I mean, I stopped playing Call of Duty probably 10 years ago.
I'm looking forward to World War II. I'm not going to lie.
Not really looking forward to it, because they're just like, oh, wow, Battlefield did really well with Battlefield 1, but we can't copy them exactly and do World War One, so let's go back to World War Two. We've done that before, just with different people behind it, but that's all right. We'll make it better. I don't think it's going to be good.
I don't... Why not do Vietnam? Why not do Korea?
There's been Vietnam games.
Yeah, Black Ops was Vietnam, but, like, no one touches those wars. Operation Desert Shield.
Gulf War.
Yeah, Gulf War, Desert Shield, Desert Storm.
Desert Storm, yeah. There's a lot that they could touch.
Go back to colonial times. Let's do it. Revolutionary War.
There was a game that came out a while ago. It wasn't from, you know, EA or Activision or anything.
Wasn't it like Call of Juarez or something like that?
No. There was something. I can't remember what it was called. I think it was called Revolution, I think.
But, like, let's go back to that.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing things like that. Just make a good game. That's all I'm asking. Just make a freaking good game. That's what I want.
Take hints from me. I'm trying to pitch good ideas here.
But yeah, I mean, video game talk again. Not really anything else going on in the video game world.
Nah, it's not the holiday season yet.
No, we got a couple months until games really start. October is when games really start coming out for the holiday season.
And you can hit me up on that, because I have them all pre-ordered.
Yeah, because you waste your money on video. I just want to see your video game collection.
It's pretty massive. It really is.
Speaking of October, fall, you know, holiday season. It's also the time where TV shows come out.
Yay!
TV season. What is it that you're looking forward to the most?
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but that's not going to come out until late next year, if not 2019.
I know.
What non-Game of Thrones thing are you excited about? Because don't get me wrong, I'm excited about Game of Thrones. I'm finally all caught up. I'm pumped about it. But
I've been trying to catch up on Arrow. I'm a little behind on Arrow.
Arrow, this past season of Arrow was fantastic. Definitely, if I were to rank the seasons, all five seasons, I would say this is the second best season. I would say 2, 5, 1, 3, 4 is how I would go. It was so good. Mm-hmm. So good. And the ending, like, I'm a sucker for cliffhangers, and it ends on a huge cliffhanger, and I mean, it's, you know...
Yeah.
You know, but it's still just, it's a good way to go out. It was just good, it was strong, and it just left you wanting more, and that's what you need. And on the flip side, you know, one of the other shows in the CW Arrowverse was The Flash, and while I'm excited for the next season of Flash, mm-hmm. season 3 of The Flash, I felt was pretty poor in execution. They had the opportunity to do something really special, really cool with that entire season. And if you've listened to the podcast over the past year, you know, it's almost been a year that we've been doing it.
Woo.
Now it's been, what, 9 months, 8 months, something like that.
We've been a whole pregnancy.
If you've listened to me, yeah. they really missed the boat with the Flashpoint story yeah. arc and stuff like that. So I'm excited for Flash. Obviously, Supergirl as well. I want to say, though, probably the one show that I'm really excited about seeing coming back, which I don't know if it's going to be this fall season. I think it's coming in January, but the next season of X-Files. Can't
yeah,
wait,
you
man.
Shared that in the group. I never got into X-Files.
Oh, that's a shame. It's such a shame. X-Files is a fantastic show. It's so much fun. And when the X-Files is on, like when they're doing the best of the best, like what they do best... How many times can I say best?
It's about as many times as we're going to say it later.
it's fun, it's humorous, it's suspenseful. It's just, that's what the X-Files brings. And obviously, you know, Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny, you know, they are the X-Files. Like, without them, mm-hmm. you don't have the X-Files. That's why it failed the last couple seasons, because when David Duchovny left, it was just Gillian Anderson and a couple other people, you know, and it just didn't work. You know, you have to have both of them. And the past, what was it, 2 years ago, they had a resurgence of, I think it was 8 episodes. It was amazing. It was great, you know, and it left with another cliffhanger. And I'm like, that's okay. That's X-Files for you. You know, people yeah. were mad, but I'm okay with that. So they're coming back again. Can't wait for it. That's one show I'm really looking forward to. Then Designated Survivor, I'm looking forward to. I'm going to say this, and you know, there's going to be some people like, yeah, damn right, you better be looking forward to it, and some people are going to be like, you're an idiot. And I think I'm an idiot for saying this, but I am looking forward to the next season of Walking Dead.
I knew that was coming. Like you were saying it, I looked at the poster and was like, no.
Look, I've said it before, the show got really bad, and I stuck with it only because I was so invested.
Do you think this season's going to redeem them?
Last season... If it wasn't for Negan, I would have stopped watching. But Negan, that whole story arc with him and Jeffrey Dean Morgan just portraying the character so perfectly, mm-hmm. I need to see more. I need to see Negan. Like, that is the only reason why I watch now. It's just like, I'm going to get to see Negan. I got to see Negan. You know, yeah, there's some different things. Like, there's this whole war that's coming up this season and stuff. But I watch it for Negan. I don't care if you know, what's their name? Rick and Carl and all them survive. No, I want Negan to survive because he's the coolest fucking character that I've
ever
seen.
You know, he's not going to.
I stopped reading the comics a while ago, but I know where the comics go with his character. So mm-hmm. Whether he lives or dies or what have you, I'm not going to get into that, but
We should have a fandom podcast.
A fandom podcast?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, well, no, we just talk about different things. Get someone that's a fan of The Walking Dead. Talk about The Walking Dead for an episode.
I'm all for it.
People are into trash TV like that.
I'm sure there's other shows that I'm really looking forward to. I mean, yeah. right now I'm really into Halt and Catch Fire. That's actually going to be this week's TV Thursday.
What?
Every day of the week in our Facebook group, you know, we have a movie Monday, a video game Tuesday, album Wednesday, TV Thursday. Friday, I was trying to do books and novels, but I just don't know that many books and novels, so I stopped doing it.
You can put it.
I could, but this week is Halt and Catch Fire. If you've never seen the show Halt and Catch Fire, it's on its final season right now, unfortunately, but which is its fourth season. The first three seasons are on Netflix. I encourage you all to watch it. It is some of the most intriguing television that I've seen in a long time, and it's just, it's so good. Great acting, and it's good times, and it's kind of a period piece. It takes place in the 80s during the computer boom, you know, like that's what it's about. It's about you know, these guys getting into the computer race with laptops, and then it moves to servers, and then it moves to the internet and stuff like that, and it's just how they adapted over time with the changing evolution and everything of computers. It's really cool. So check it out if you haven't seen it.
Doesn't American Gods?
Yeah, I don't know when that comes back. I'm waiting for Westworld also. Westworld and American Gods, I'm both waiting for release dates on those, because neither one is going to be. American Gods last year was spring, and Westworld was fall, but I remember them saying that Westworld Season 2 was going to be pushed back. So I don't have a release date for either of them yet.
Oh, I liked Westworld.
Yeah, I can't wait to see them. See the next season. I know a lot of people didn't like Westworld. There's a lot of people that I spoke with that were like, oh, it was too cheesy, too ridiculous, and too predictable. I mean,
says the Walking Dead fans.
Exactly. Exactly. I thought Westworld was probably one of the best TV shows of last year. I mean, it may have been, I think, my favorite show of last year. It was that good.
I'm starting to catch up on it. I have it on Amazon.
There's only 12 episodes, so you should be able to...
I'm working on that, American Gods, Arrow. I'm trying to do like three shows at the same time.
Just pick one, get through it, and do the next one. Arrow will always be there, and don't do Arrow on Amazon. Watch it on Netflix, because it's free.
It's on Amazon Prime, I think.
Oh, is it?
So that's why I was like, oh, okay, I'll watch it if it's on Prime.
Oh, okay. That's about it for TV, unless you have anything else.
No.
All right. There was some big film news this past week, and we're going to talk more about it on this week's episode of Star Wars Talk. Ow.
Nice.
But Colin Trevorrow, he was going to be the director of Episode 9, has been let go. They stepped away, blah, blah, blah. He stepped away. They mutually agreed that their visions didn't match, Lucasfilm and him. I think there's more to the story than that.
We'll find out after release.
And, well, I know a good... I've read a lot of, you know, reports, so we're going to get really into it in Star Wars Talk, but just quickly, what is your take on it, Colton? Because you're the Star Wars guy here.
Hey, yeah. Hey, your host here. No, I don't know how I feel about it. What else is he working on?
He did Jurassic World.
That was a good movie.
And he also did this year's bomb called Book of Henry. It was a passion project of his,
which
he
wrote,
directed, and everything. And it bombed. I mean, bombed big time. So a lot of people were like, oh, it's because that bomb that they let him go or something like that.
I don't think so.
Then there's also the talk that, oh, because Carrie Fisher died, he can't get on track with what they want to do with the story and blah, 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 because he was also writing the script for Episode 9. Look, I
read somewhere that because he backed out, J.J. Abrams is now like the favorited person to do Episode 9.
The two names that have been popping up for favorites are J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson. We're going to talk on Star Wars Talk who I think is the best choice for taking over. And you've probably agree. You've probably heard other podcasts, watch other YouTube videos about it. You may have even watched the YouTube video I posted the day that all this happened, because I posted it on our YouTube channel.
Oh, wait, no. Yeah, I saw it. Answer your question that you asked forever ago.
Yeah, and, you know, there's just a lot to this that I think Lucasfilm and everybody needs to understand. One of the big things I think that fans need to understand is, who the hell cares who directs it? Just make sure it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's all we need to worry about.
We could direct it.
But
as long as it's good, who's going to care?
Exactly. It doesn't matter as long as it's good. So, while, yeah, directors can bring their own flair, they can bring their own, you know,
their
stamp and tone onto a film, I think it's a little different with the Star Wars franchise. However, that may change with Rian Johnson's Episode 8, because he's got a very distinct style with his filmmaking, and the previews kind of show some of that. So We'll see. I don't know. We're definitely going to get more into it this week on this week's episode of Star Wars Talk. I'm going to delve into it and get into it. So with Colton.
I had to work a lot. My life's a train wreck. So Bob's going to be did a miss the research.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean that besides it.
Besides what?
The movie It.
There we go.
That's pretty much all that happened in the film world this past week. Now, we're going to get into our It movie talk. We're going to talk about a review, what we thought of it. There'll be spoilers, non-spoilers, everything like that. It's going to be good fun. And honestly, if you haven't seen the movie, what I'm going to talk about, even if it is spoilers, it's not spoilers to the fact that you won't enjoy the film. So
yeah, no, it's a solid film.
It's a solid film. But before we get into that, before we get into this, all right, look.
Oh, hold on. Let me get my popcorn.
I love going to the movies. I love the experience. I love going to the theater, sitting down, relaxing, and watching a movie on the big screen. It's one of my favorite things to do in life. And it's unfortunate to go to big events and big movies like this, mm-hmm. Like it was. You know, I've gone to Harry Potter events. I've gone to Star Wars. I've gone to comic book movie, you know, releases, like big releases the first weekend, the first night, everything like that. I've done this multiple times. This past movie, It, was the worst single movie going experience in my entire life. And I feel bad for other people who were in the theater with me. And I sure as hell feel bad for the theater owners and the people who run the theater, because it's not their fault. But I hope this isn't going to get to anybody, because five people listen to the podcast. But
no, I'm intrigued.
But I'm telling you right now, if you go to a freaking movie theater, turn your fucking phone off. Do not use your fucking flashlight on your phone to find your seat in the middle of the fucking movie. All right.
This is nothing with the movie at all.
Nothing with the movie at all. All right. This is going to be teaching people movie theater etiquette. That is what this is going to be.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. I had people in mind cracking open cans of like pop and stuff.
Look, the idea of going to a movie, the theater, there's an experience there. All right. And when you watch a movie, the best way to do it is to have no distractions. Yeah. You know, and I understand going to a movie, there's going to be distractions. People are going to have to get up and go to the bathroom, which I say go to the bathroom before the freaking movie starts.
Yeah, and then don't chug your extra large Coke while you're fucking watching the previews.
Trust me, there's been multiple times where I've been in a movie and I've had to take a piss, and I sit there and I literally hold my junk because I'm holding it in. Yeah. That's because I'm not getting up.
When we saw Spider-Man Homecoming.
Exactly.
I went immediately as the credits started, I got up and I ran.
It's like movie theater etiquette. I can't stand it. I don't know if it's just the way that I was raised, but okay. Number one, if you're going to go to a movie, be there on time.
Yes.
All right. I get that there's 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes of previews sometimes. With the movie It, there was about 45 minutes of previews.
For you? Really?
Yeah. It was insane.
I had like 20 minutes.
It was insane. I want to say there was eight movie trailers. It was crazy.
I had like three and that was it.
It was insane. But get there on time. All right. Yeah. Don't say, oh, there's going to be 10 minutes of movie trailers. I don't need to.
Yeah. We can arrive 20 minutes late. We're fine.
No, that's not how it works. Get there on time. And this is where I put the fault on the movie theater chain. I know they want to make their money, mm-hmm. but I think that they need to take into consideration the moviegoers' experience. And they need to
cut it off.
And they need to say, look, if you're not here by a certain time, it's done. It's closed. Doors are closed. No one's getting in. That simple. Again, I know they want to make their money, but there has
to be. That's hurting business.
Exactly. So that's number one. Get there on time.
No. I'm excited with this rant because I felt the same way when I saw it.
Number two, like I said, take your piss before the movie. Honestly, go to the bathroom before the movie, which means you have to show up a little early. Yes, you need to show up a little early.
Crazy how one and two, you know, interact with each other.
It's crazy. Show up early to the movie, get there early enough, get your popcorn, get your drink. If you want to go sit down, then go take a piss before the trailers even start, go for it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. But get it done before the trailers. And even, again, the trailers don't matter to me that much, but at least go to the bathroom before the movie starts.
Yeah.
You know, like just go to the bathroom before the movie starts. Stop talking. Look, I will sometimes lean over to my friend that I'm sitting with in a theater and say something quietly. But
Don't have a full-fledged conversation.
I'm not going to have a full-fledged conversation. I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, that was so stupid. Oh, how does that make any sense? Oh, like, stuff like that. Literally, I heard that in the movie theater last night, or watching it. Like, it literally was one of those things. It was just like...
Watch
the movie.
Now, you have to take in consideration. You went into the heart of Fayette County.
I get that. And I've gone to multiple movies at that theater. I went to see Lego Batman in that theater. The theater was full of children. My kids sitting on my lap. I had a better experience at that than I did at it, when there was maybe 10 children in there, which was another thing. Who's taking 6 and 7 year old kids to go see it? I get it. I'm not going to sit there and judge any parent. I'm not going to do that because, God forbid, I'm not the best parent in the world. I'm not. I try to be, but I'm not.
I am.
But come on, it's a rated R movie, and it's clowns.
And you want to blame the violence on video games and stuff like that?
It's sickening. It's stupid. So, okay, but.
That's a different topic for a different day.
Stop talking during the movies. It's that simple. It's not a hard thing. If you don't know how to stop talking, don't go to the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I have a rule in my house, and this has been...
Since, I learned this rule last week.
And this has been since I was a kid. If I'm watching something new, if I've never seen it before, if I'm watching a movie, a TV show, something, do not talk to me. Do not say a word.
Don't even look in your direction.
I will kick you out of my house. I have done it. You can ask friends. I've kicked people out of my house because I was sitting there watching a movie and they wouldn't shut the hell up.
I learned this rule. I didn't get thrown out of the house, but I was told about it.
I was watching Game of Thrones last week.
Yeah, and then I got into it and I was like, shit.
I'm sorry. I just... When I'm watching something, I want to focus on it. You know, yeah. Like, that's all it is. And like I said, sometimes, yeah, I'll lean over and make a comment or something stupid, you know, but that's fine. I make sure it's not in a moment of the movie that is going on that you need to pay attention to. You know, I'm sitting there like, oh, okay, scene transition, blah, blah, blah. All right, now back. That's what I do. So again, just don't talk during a movie, okay? Number two, if you do have to get up during the movie and go to the bathroom, all right, I get it. It happens. You're going to have to do it. When you come back into the theater, surprise, surprise, your eyes will eventually adjust to the darkness.
Yeah.
Stand in the back. Stand at below the stairs, whatever kind of theater you have. The theater I went to was one of those old theaters that didn't have the stadium seating and everything. It was like just old,
a nice
theaters.
General incline.
Exactly. So just open the door, stand in the back there until your eyes adjust, and then go find your seat. Do not turn on the flashlight on your phone and walk down the aisle with the flashlight on your... Just because you have it down by your feet doesn't mean it's not distracting. It's freaking distracting, all right? You're the asshole who had to go to the bathroom during the film. You're the asshole who decided, I'm not going to take a piss before the movie. I'm going to wait. So guess what? You don't get to be comfortable. You get to sit in the back until your eyes adjust so you can then go find your seat. That's the way I look at it, all right? Don't screw everybody else over and ruin their experience because you were the dumbass who didn't go to the bathroom before the movie.
This rant is beautiful. I'm not trying to undermine, but this is beautiful.
Okay, now, next. All right, look, we all love snacks at the theater, don't we?
Yeah, no. Don't even get me because, like, open your shit before the movie starts.
Open before the movie starts, exactly.
Don't, if you're going to crack open a can of Coke... Do it while the previews are rolling. Don't do it at the climax of the damn movie.
Exactly. Annoying. But here's even worse. All right. There's literally the guy sitting right behind me at the theater. Right behind me in the theater. Had a bag of popcorn. A bag of popcorn was louder than the fucking movie.
No, I had people behind me that I didn't know there was a herd of goddamn cattle behind me. Because,
again, the guys like, with the popcorn. We're chewing with their mouth open.
I would have just turned around, just punched them in the throat.
I'm telling you, like, oh my God. Like, the worst movie experience. Everything that I just went through happened yesterday. Every single thing. Everything.
That's because it's our area.
It's just so annoying.
That's why, like, unless it's Star Wars or something like that, I try not to go on release night.
And here's the thing, like, I've gotten up in the middle of a movie to go to the bathroom. I have. I make sure, though, I put myself in a seat that allows me to do it with the least amount of distraction and inconvenience for other people. It's what I do. You know, it's either I sit on one of the ends or I'll sit at the very front and I'll just jump over the railing. You know, that way nobody can really see me. I'm
Unless you fall and eat shit.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. Like, I mean, I really could go on with more of this crap, but come on, people. Just, it's movie theater etiquette. It's just like, you know, one of my things is, like, I've gone, I'm a big hockey fan. So I've gone to many, many sports games, you know, hockey games, stuff like that.
And that's appropriate.
Here's the thing. It's not appropriate, all right? When the game is going on, when there's play on the ice, you don't get up and walk away. Well, you don't walk down to your seats. No. Once there's a whistle and the play is stopped, get up, go to the bathroom. Come back down to your seat. All right?
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Because it's the experience. You don't want to be distracted by somebody walking in your way and then you miss a goal or this and that. Same goes with the movies. All right? The same thing goes with the movies. Again, I know when you go to a theater, you should expect distraction. There's going to be distractions. I get it. But try and limit it. Like, I wouldn't have been so mad if one of these things or two of these things happened. But every single thing happened to me, Colton. Everyone.
I just had the...
Then you have the people who bitch about the movie while the movie's going on. Like, just, no!
Just leave. Do yourself the favor and leave. I had the... we'll get into it later, but it's not very scary.
Yeah.
And it's just the unnecessary screaming. Oh, or if you hear people talking, don't go, shh, because that's worse. Like, just stop. Let them talk or tell them to shut up. Yeah. Don't go, shh, for 15 fucking minutes. I had that. That was irking me off.
Oh, man. It's ridiculous.
I'm like, going to have to go see it again just so I don't have to worry about it.
Here's the thing. Like, the way I look at it, like I said, the biggest things that distracted me were the talking and the flashlights. All right, that, like, I get it. Some people eat a certain way. It's annoying.
Yeah, it's the wrong way, but whatever.
It's annoying. I can get past it. Talking, I can't get past. And the flashlights. Like, what would these kids and these parents have done 20 years ago before there were flashlight on cell phones when they were going into the movie theater?
Well,
they just trip
weren't...
over their own feet and just fall and, like, just cry. I can't find my seat.
Keep in consideration, they weren't delicate flowers either.
It's so annoying. Like, when I was younger, like, literally, I walk into a movie theater and I stand there and wait till my eyes adjust. If I can't remember where my seat is, you know.
That should be your fault. Like, that shouldn't ever happen to begin with.
Exactly. But you just wait for your... It takes 2 minutes at most for your eyes to adjust.
You could watch the movie while it's happening.
Exactly. Exactly. And then there... Who knows? Maybe a scene where it gets really bright on the screen happens, and then you can scurry over to your seat real quick. Don't need to turn on a flashlight.
But I will say, in their defense...
No, there's no defense!
It was not very bright, so that was not an opportunity for them.
Oh, man.
I'll say that. I'll say that.
I really went off there. I just... I'm
can
sorry.
That be the preview? Can we do like a... Can we do like a little... like. Informational video.
Maybe.
Can we put on a suit? We're going to film you.
And see, I know other... Like, I have a friend. His name's Jordan. He goes to the movies all the time. And I used to make fun of him for some of his quirks, because he hates talking in a movie. I get it. Mm. So everybody hates talking in a movie. But one thing that he absolutely hates, which it doesn't bother me at all, because sometimes a movie's deserving of it, but he hates when people clap. He hates when something in a movie, there's a big scene and people go, you know, we're at the
that
end of the movie.
That happens a lot in Star Wars specifically.
Like, he hates it. I don't get it. I mean, it is what it is. Maybe, yeah, but...
I don't see the point in it. I don't hate it or I don't like
I'll
it.
I'll clap at the end of a movie. If a movie's good enough, I'll clap. I know that the people who made it aren't going to hear
me.
Yeah,
that's my thing. Like, they're not going to hear it.
But that's okay, you know? Like, it makes me feel better.
Not like... Sometimes it's appropriate. Like, spoiler, Darth Vader being at the end of Rogue One. You know how many people clapped at that just for the sheer fact it was Darth Vader?
There was cheering. There was like, yeah!
Yeah, and like Princess Leia.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, actually just that whole end scene altogether from like
the
Leia.
Last 2 minutes.
Yeah, like that was just a straight applause, like, yeah. Which was fine because at that point you didn't even care what the audio was. It was like Vader's destroying everything.
Vader's
inside.
Killing a bunch of people and then hope.
Yeah, like that's fine. Not like, oh... I just talked through the entire movie.
No, like, The moment I really remember is Wonder Woman, for instance, in Batman vs Superman. I heard before I went to see the movie, I heard rumors that at the pre-screenings and stuff like that, people got excited and applaud when Wonder Woman showed up in Batman vs Superman. So I went and saw it with my buddy Jordan. And I told him before the movie, I was like, look, I know you hate this. I was like, but I'm going to tell you right now, man, there will be applause when Wonder Woman shows up. I guarantee it.
And
Wonder Woman comes down. And people are just yeah, all freaking out, clapping, excited. And I just look at him. He's so pissed off.
He's like,
exactly. It was hilarious. It was funny. But it is what it is. Everybody has their quirks. Mine are just, I think...
Yours are reasonable.
Reasonable quirks that, like, people just...
That's just common courtesy.
You need to have movie theater etiquette. You know, they should put a sign in every movie theater. Movie theater etiquette. And then this is what you do.
But again, you do have to take in consideration you were in Uniontown.
Yeah, look, again, I've had bad movie experiences before. I have.
I've been
to theaters where the audio was crap. I've been to theaters where little girls were in the background giggling the entire time because they saw Harry Potter on the screen. You know, it's just things that, you know, bad experiences from time to time. But this was the worst experience I've ever had. Ever. All right, ever. All right, get off that.
But after that tangent, nothing about the movie. Nothing.
Exactly, it was nothing about the movie.
Technically,
yet. So, the smash hit It came out this past Friday. Now, domestically, it was projected to make $117 million this weekend, which is phenomenal.
A lot.
It broke those estimates and made $123 million last I saw. $123 million domestically. This was a movie that was projected, before it came out, it was projected to make about $40 to $50 million. It then bumped up to about $60 at one point, getting closer to the release.
Domestically. Why was it so low?
Because it's a horror film. And it's September. Now, here's the thing.
But they hyped it.
Here's the thing. The highest prior to It coming out and making $117 million domestically. The highest grossing film for a September was Hotel Transylvania 2 at $50 million in September. That was the highest grossing September movie prior to It. So that's why the projection was so low. They're like, you know, people don't go to the movies in September, even though it's kind of the start of the fall movie season and the award pushes and stuff like that. People don't normally go. And September, early September, even at that, is still not great. It's late September when movies really start coming out. So I think that's why the projections were so low. Not only that, but the last I saw, it's made $62 million internationally. So between that, I mean, it's over $180 million. You know, that's insane. All right. So let's just put this into perspective for you guys, okay? This would make it the third. Okay. No, Thursday. I'm sorry. It's the number one movie in September. Highest grossing horror release in September. Highest grossing Stephen King adaptation. And highest grossing film for September. All of that. So it just broke a bunch of records right there. Not only that, but the Thursday previews. If you went and saw it on Thursday night, which usually starts around like 7 p.m., that made $13.5 million on Thursday night alone. That is number three for the year on Thursday night previews. Only behind Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Beauty and the Beast. So it's just crushing. Like, it's just destroying. It's had a bigger opening weekend than Wonder Woman.
That's surprising.
I mean, this movie isn't just a phenomenon. It is a good movie. Like, it isn't just because of the hype. Go see it if you haven't, which with these numbers,
hyping.
A lot of people have seen it. I'm not just sitting here hyping it and telling you all these numbers because it's, check this out. No, it is a good movie.
You could take away the fact that there was one in the 90s. And you could take away it being a Stephen King book and make it its own individual release. And it's a phenomenal film.
Really, really is.
Like, no lore at all.
I have my problems with it. I do. Well, we're going to get into it. But
the problems are not that big.
No, not at all, actually. Now, It was directed by Andy Muschietti. Can't say that name. Muschietti. All right. And Bill Skarsgård starred as the villain Pennywise, and then it has
phenomenal job.
Yeah, and then the cast of young but talented children. I'm telling you,
the kids were, but just the acting as a whole was phenomenal.
This film delivered on every promise it made with the marketing. Everything that you've seen marketing wise, whether it's previews, trailers, TV spots, you know, whatever it is, it has delivered on that promise. I don't even know what else to say about it in that regard, because it was just, I was excited. My expectations were high for this movie. Didn't meet my expectations. We'll get into that. But my expectations were very high. So, you know, it delivered. It did deliver. It's pretty, for me, and, you know, I'm going to get to what your thoughts are here in a second, Colton. But to me, my expectations being so high was a bit surprising. Mm-hmm. I'm not a horror movie fan. We've talked about it the last 3 or 4 weeks on the podcast. I'm just not a big horror movie fan. There's something about them. They never scare me, this and that. And this movie, it didn't scare me. But I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, that is my, and that is probably my biggest issue with the movie, is that it didn't scare me, because I was going in wanting to be scared.
Like, yeah.
I wanted to
be scared. Because all the reviews were like, it was horrifying.
I wanted to come home and not be able to sleep with my lights off. Like, that's what I wanted to have happen. That didn't happen. That is my biggest problem with the movie. However, it is a fantastic film.
They have the suspense and, like, down.
Yeah, yeah. So, what are some of the things? I mean, I have a whole list of things I can go over, but I'll start with you. Go for it.
I like...
And it, look, spoilers.
Yeah.
I'm going to say right now, we're not going to do a non-spoiler review. We're just going to do a review. It's going to have spoilers. If you haven't seen it, you may want to turn it off, but honestly, the spoilers, knowing things that we're going to talk about, do not ruin the film at all.
If you watch, if you've read the book or watched the previous one, we're not spoiling anything.
Exactly. So
I do like how each kid had their own individual storyline.
Yeah.
With Billy not accepting Georgie's death and, and what? Beth. I'm awful with names, by the way. Beth with her dad.
Yeah.
And, like, how there were things that were implied that, you know, we can't confirm happened, but they were implied.
Yeah.
With her dad. You know, just, I can't think of the one kid and his mom. I can't think of
his name. Can't think of all their names either.
But,
I have a couple of their names written down because of, they stuck out to me the most.
Yeah. But, like, each kid, I like how they had their own storylines, and they all seemed to wrap up, and how Pennywise was able to interfere with those storylines, like... Obviously, killing Georgie and, you know, Billy trying to, you know, find Georgie was the driving force of the movie, which was good. But, like, her problems with her dad, he, you know, blood-covered bathroom you know. It was good. Like, the lady for the Jewish kid, I can't think of his name, you know, how she was there, but... You know, it was really him focusing on his bar mitzvahs.
Yeah.
I'm not good with the Jewish religion either, I'm sorry. But, no, it was good. The CGI was tasteful. It wasn't, like, over the top or anything.
No, wasn't over the top.
I mean, if it were to be over the top, it'd be towards the end. But even then, it still wasn't that over the top.
It wasn't over the top. And the thing, like... When I sit there and think of horror films and, you know, over the top CGI, I'm talking about gore. Like sometimes there's just,
and that's way what too much this gore. Movie wasn't. It wasn't gory.
There wasn't
gore. Well, like, distastefully gory.
There was gore. There was gore, but it wasn't that over the top. It wasn't, Saw, like, or Hostel or anything like that. No, it was tasteful for what it could be.
Yeah, it had to be gory when it had to be.
Exactly.
It wasn't like, oh hey, I just bit off Georgie's arm. We're gonna spew blood everywhere for 15 minutes. Like that was it bit him off, and then that was it.
Yeah. I think for me, I agree on all those parts. The kids' stories line, you know, each individual kid was done fantastic. The only one, and I'm sorry for saying it like this, there was one kid that I felt was not given the amount of time to shine. I can't remember his name, but it was the black kid.
Yeah.
I felt that there was a quick, short explanation of where he came from.
And that was it.
And that was a little disappointing because... Honestly, that quick little explanation, intrigued me more than one of the other kids or a couple of the other kids' stories. Like, that one was just like, oh, I want to know more about that one because it sounds interesting. And
they did hint to it.
They hint to it a couple times. So I was kind of like, you know, I wish I could have gotten more from that character, from his backstory. And we might in chapter two. But the kids were fantastic. I think for me, Finn Wolfhard, he played Richie. He's the kid that played Richie in It. He also is the main character, one of the main characters in Stranger Things. He was the standout star for me.
Is saying something, because that acting was good.
Yeah, and he's got a bright future. Here's the thing. It was being filmed right when Stranger Things came out, or right after Stranger Things came out. So it wasn't like they went and saw Stranger Things and they were like, oh, this kid, we need to grab this kid, he's going to be something. Mm. That's not why they did it. No, they got this kid before all the hype from Stranger Things. And I can't wait to see Stranger Things season two now because of him. He's so good. He has all the best one-liners. Like, there's a moment in the movie where he goes... to the bully, he goes, why don't you go suck your dad's cock, you mullet, you know, fucking something. You know, it's just hilarious. It's funny, but he delivers it perfectly. Like, he's a 12-year-old delivering and trying to act big, saying swear words, and it works perfectly because, one, it's funny. When kids swear, I don't care how old you are, it's funny. You know, I know my kids have sworn in front of me, and I'm like, what are you doing? But secretly, I'm sitting there giggling because it's funny. It is funny when kids swear, and they handle it perfectly here because it just the way they do it, the way it sounds, it's done fantastic. Finn, he's the guy who plays Richie. He's the best at it. You know, all the other kids swear at some point. You know, say fuck, say shit. You know, he does it perfectly because he's pretty much the comedic relief of the entire movie. Like, any comedic time or scene in the movie is from him.
Yeah,
and it works out perfectly. It the comedy in this movie, I wasn't expecting the amount of comedy that I got in this movie. You could honestly pull out the Pennywise aspect of it, and it's almost a comedy. Like, it really is. You know, you put the Pennywise, you know, thing back into it, then it's, you know, you
get a suspense.
A suspense.
We can't say a horror.
A suspense really comedy. But
it's not really horror, though.
No, it's not so much horror.
Like, the only two times you could say it was horror was what you saw in trailers. In previews.
Yeah. The entire cast of kids, though. Perfect. Perfect chemistry.
Yeah, that was great.
It was great. And there's, you know, that there is kind of a little love triangle that goes on between
Billy, Beth, and
Richie.
The new kid.
They're not Richie. The new kid, the fat kid.
New kid.
Yeah, new kid. Yeah, there new kid. That's his nickname, New Kid. There's a little love triangle there, and it these kids being 12, 13 years old, like, they did it perfectly. Like, I sat there and I was like, I'm rooting for him. Oh, I want him to win that. Oh, you know, it's like every single moment, it's like I switch, like, oh, I like him and her together, but I like him and her together, but I'm rooting for him now, but I want to root for him now. You know, it was perfectly done. And
I felt like New Kid got stabbed way too many times. He got an H carved into his stomach. He got like slit at the end of the film.
Was it the end of the film? No, that was when they were in the house.
Yeah, but still, two times in like a week, I would be like, I'm done. I'm good.
You just brought up a problem with the movie I had. All right, the time frame of the movie was hard to follow for those who are not typical movie fans. What I mean is, the movie starts in June 1989 or 88. 89,
I thought it was 79.
No, it's in the 80s. I want to say it's 89. And anyways, it starts in June. The year doesn't matter. Yeah. It starts in June. So it's June, all right? And the first abduction happens. Well, not the first abduction, but there's another abduction that happens with a little girl, and school is letting out, and everybody's talking about the little girl who's missing and stuff like that. And, you know, then each of the kids start seeing things, you know, and then all of a sudden it pops up to being July. However, they never signify that it's July. They never, nothing pops up. There's no word thing at the bottom that says July. The only way that it gives it away that it's July is that there is a 4th of July parade going on. And that is the only reason that you should know or you would notice that it is July. And I heard in the theater with all those people talking because...
because insert rant here.
Exactly. There's a moment because it's July where they go into the house and they confront Pennywise.
Yep.
And the one kid falls and breaks his arm in July.
Was it a technically a break? Because they like popped it back in.
Well, yeah. He then had a cast on.
No, I thought it was like a fracture or something.
Maybe a fracture is a break.
No, it's not. It's a fracture.
But he gets a broken arm. All right. They then jump to August. All right.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I hear in the audience somebody go, "He still has a cast on since June." And I was like, "No, I mean, he just got it a couple weeks ago in July." You know, like people didn't follow it. You know, again, maybe more people than I thought actually picked up on it. I picked up on it right away. But it was weird that from June to July, they don't say it's July. But then from July to August, it says August. And then from August to September, it says September. Like, it literally gives you that, except for June to July, which I thought was weird. And so that was one of my complaints. I think they could have done a better job of explaining the time jumps a little bit, maybe. You know, that was part of it.
Yeah, it's not good to assume
because, like, you know, because the new kid gets the H into him in June, and then it's July where he gets scratched by Pennywise. You know, so yeah, it sucks that he's gotten stabbed or scratched multiple times.
The new kid.
I do want to say that I really, really, and we talked about this in the car ride to getting lunch. I really like the storyline in regards to Henry, who played the bully, or he was the bully.
His storyline got crazy.
It got crazy, and I know in the book that it's even crazier than it is in the movie. But
the movie did a really good portrayal of it.
It did a great job because you really see how deranged this guy is. Like, he's one of those serial killer like type of minds.
Yeah,
but
because like in the beginning of the movie, it's like
he's just a bully.
Yeah, he's a bully. Then he carves an H into someone.
And then he's trying to kill someone. Oh, kill a guy. And then he tries to kill a cat. And then
he kills his dad.
He does kill his dad, yeah.
And then goes to kill the kids.
Yeah. It's crazy, like, his story arc. But what I liked most about it is it mimicked Pennywise's storyline. You know, these kids have been bullied by Henry for years and years and years. The Losers Club has been bullied by Henry and his friends for years.
Yep.
And it isn't until it's the moment, there's a moment in the movie where the one kid is getting picked on and he's about to get killed. Like, it looks like he's gonna be killed by getting a rock smashed across his head. And all of a sudden, the group of kids just show up there and they save him. And it's at that moment they realize, if we work together, we can defeat him. We can beat this bully. In turn, the same thing happens with Pennywise. And I just loved the parallel and the similarities between that, because what this story is it's telling children and kids, and not so much kids, but, you know, this kind of stuff in the world happens. You know, you don't need to go at it alone. Don't go at stuff alone. And that's kind of what that...
Safety in numbers.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was pushing for. Now, I'm not sitting here saying, now, kids, go beat up your bully. Go beat up the bully with all of your friends. I'm not saying that.
Go carve an H into his side.
But what I'm saying is, you
mark him as yours.
Going through life, you don't have to go through it alone. You know, don't go through it alone. Go Unless through it with friends ugly. And stuff like that. So that's kind of what I'm saying there. But I really, really liked that, the parallels between that. But his storyline, when he goes... I mean, I kind of saw him killing his dad the moment that...
Well, I knew it was coming.
Yeah, I mean...
I read the book.
But, you know, sitting there as a person who... I only saw the miniseries on TV when I was a kid, probably a good 20 years ago, if not more. So I don't... Like, I remember enough of it, but I don't remember everything. And, you know, the moment where his dad comes out and is like, "So what are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm cleaning your gun." "Oh, you're cleaning my gun?" And then he shoots at his feet and he goes, "See, kids, see what happens to, you know." It was at that moment I was like, he's going to kill him. And then he goes to the mailbox and he gets his knife. Pennywise returns his knife to him. And I'm like, yep, there it goes.
Just, I thought it was kind of crazy because that. Back to the black kid, because we can't remember his name. Not trying to be that guy here. But remember when he was pinned down on the ground when all the rest of the kids were in the well?
Yeah.
And he said that he happily burnt down that building?
Yes. Oops. That was me.
I was going to say that one wasn't me. But but when he said he happily burnt down that building that killed his family, I was like, that's when they kept giving like the callbacks to his past. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, you could throw in an extra 20 minutes. You already have me for 2.5 hours. I'm fine.
Oh, exactly. I agree wholeheartedly. Mike. Mike was the black kid's name.
Mike. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's... Yeah. Again, I mean, there's a lot of characters in it.
Yes.
And to me, like I said, he was the one that I really wanted more story on. I really wanted more story on that.
I do like the fact that there weren't that many adults in the movie.
Okay.
It relied a lot on the kids.
And that's one of my points here. I literally have written here, the adults. One of the things I enjoyed most were the adults. Because they were all pissed off all the time, which is different. Now, here's an interesting thing. Think of it like this, all right? We're in our 20s, or you're in your 20s, I'm in my 30s. God.
There's 10 years between us, Bob.
And now when like now, maybe not so much for you because you're still in your young 20s, but when I go to a movie now, it's hard for me to relate to kids. It is. Like, I don't relate to the children anymore when I see things because it's like, I take a look. I have kids now. I have adult eyes. I've lived through some things.
Yeah, no, I haven't. You know?
Here's my thing. What this movie does is, one, it makes the parents all pissed off and mean and evil. Like, there isn't a moment in this movie where you're like, oh, I sympathize with the parent or the adult.
Yeah.
There isn't a moment that you do that. What it does is it pulls any sympathy or any connection that an adult moviegoer would have,
mm-hmm.
and puts the focus solely on the kids. That way you can now relate with the kids.
Yeah.
Which I think was done phenomenally. Like, that was such a great thing. And another thing, I don't know if you noticed this, but there was just this weird, I don't know, I need to see it again, but there's like, it seemed like that when the parents talked, it was deeper. Like, yeah. it wasn't like, you know, like their normal voice. Like, it was like a weird like sense around the way they talked, and even like the camera angle where I could be wrong, but I'm trying to remember. Most scenes, it almost like we were looking up to the parents.
Yeah.
Up to the adults. You know, we weren't looking straight on. They were
playing on the camera.
Exactly. So they did a great thing with the adults in this movie because there aren't many of them. I think we see...
One, two, three.
I think one parent or one adult per kid. So we see a total of 7, 8 parents or adults in the movie. And that's about it. And, you know, like that's... all we need, you know, because the story is about the Losers Club. It's about the kids. It's about them going through this and confronting Pennywise and confronting their fears. So that, you know, I thought that was an amazing, amazing aspect for it. The pacing of the movie, I thought was fantastic. I heard prior that some people didn't enjoy the pacing. They felt that it was boring at times. I was never bored. I was never bored. I was never bored with the movie. Like, they really, like, that opening scene with Georgie in the boat.
Exactly.
Like, I didn't get emotional, but I almost got there. Because there's the moment in the beginning of the movie, and Billy and Georgie are making the boat, and he's like, you know, hey, you know, go do this. And, you know, he goes, I love you, you know, Billy. And he gives him a hug, and I know what's coming. And I'm like,
yeah.
Don't do that. No.
You're like, you got me. Like, don't.
Exactly. It's like, the only thing that they probably could have, like, the next thing, if they would have been like, I love you too, and they hugged for like a second longer, I probably would have started to cry. Like, it was that emotional. Like, that, it grabbed you perfectly. But then, you know, he goes, and you've all seen the previews, and if you've seen the original, you know, he puts the SS Georgie down in the water, and it's going down the street. And obviously, you know the part where he smacks his head off the caution blocker,
technically.
And you know, then he finally catches up and it goes in there. And I tell you what, like, Pennywise pops up. He's like, "Hey, Georgie," and I was like, "Ah, cool, Pennywise." And he's Skarsgård's voice is perfect as Pennywise. Yeah. I love his voice. You know, it's done perfectly. And he's talking to him, and like the whole conversation, you're like, "All right, I'm getting into this." I give that little kid so much props because he played it perfectly. Like, there wasn't a moment where I didn't believe that he was this kid talking to a clown. You know,
yeah.
Like, I believed every second of it, And then he's like, okay, I gotta go now. And he's like, don't forget your boat. He said, he'll kill you. Or you said, Billy will kill you. You don't want him to kill you. And he's like, here, grab it. And when he puts his arm in there, I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
But I didn't think they were gonna go do it. Like, I really, because when they do remakes, they always try to change things. They always put little twists, or they cut away from a scene that you really think should be there. And the moment he puts his arm in there and Pennywise grabs his arm and he bites it, I was like, oh, they're going to cut. No. Then he turns around.
And he has a nub.
And he has a nub. And he's trying to crawl away crying in the rain. And Pennywise just reaches out and pulls him into the sewer. I couldn't freaking believe they showed it like that, because that little kid was so... so innocent. Convincing and innocent with everything that he did. That, I mean, he was not in the movie a lot, but that just gave you so much.
That little kid, every time he was in the movie,
oh yeah,
he gave a convincing
yeah, absolutely,
like, Billy, you'll float down here.
Yeah.
You'll float down here. And he starts screaming in body period.
You'll float too. Yeah. You'll float too. You'll float too. You'll float too. And it just gets going crazy. You're like, oh God. That was the one moment that my skin crawled, was that moment. Because again, with me, little kids, creepy little kids, not my thing. No, my skin crawled there. And then I did jump one time in a movie. So it had a couple moments that got me. But one was with the kid. I don't fall for jump scares. I never fall for jump scares. I did fall for one jump scare in this movie.
Yeah, no, I fell for the same one. I was like, ooh.
It pissed me off because it was something that we've seen in the previews. I knew it was going to come at some point, but it still got me. It had its moments. Like, it did scare me a little bit, which I'm happy. I wanted it to scare me more, but, you know, it is what it is. Now, what did you think of the ending of the movie? Because I know a lot of people did not like the ending.
Pennywise battle, or like the okay.
Now, leading up to the Pennywise battle, because I think this is what I think people didn't like, because, you know, they're in the sewer, they find the mound of garbage and all the people floating, they see that, you know, and then they move forward and they're chasing Billy because Billy sees Georgie and he's running after Georgie and he finds Georgie, and Georgie sitting there without an arm. You know, it's been more than a year since he's been gone, and he's standing there without an arm. All right, mind you, he doesn't have an arm. Every time that we've seen Georgie prior, and it wasn't Georgie, he had both arms. This was the only time since his abduction that we saw him with only one arm, which I thought was brilliant to do, because you have that moment in you where you're like, oh, wow.
That's actually Georgie.
It's Georgie. You know, they found Georgie, you know. But Billy's the only one who's like, and you can tell the other kids are like, it's Georgie.
Yeah.
You know, they believe it's Georgie. But Billy's like, you know, because Georgie's like, I want to go home, Billy. I love you. I want to go home. Let's go home. And Billy's like, you know, I love you too, but there's only one problem. You're not Georgie. And boom, he shoots him in the head with a bolt gun. Mm. You know, he falls. And then they do it perfectly too, because then the director kind of zooms out a little bit and you see Georgie laying on the ground and he just lays there. And then you're like,
oh, shit.
Shit, did he just kill his brother?
Mm.
Like, shit. But then he transforms back into Pennywise, but it was done perfectly. You know, again, an avid moviegoer like me, somebody who looks for those types of things and looks for different things in movies, I saw it coming, but I thought it was done perfectly. You know, I felt the despair, because you could even tell while Billy knew that it wasn't him,
he wanted it to be bad.
So bad. Exactly. And again, it just goes back to the acting of the kids. Like, they just did a fantastic job. But I think it was from that point forward where a lot of people did not like the ending of the movie.
How?
That battle went
almost identical with the book.
And that's the thing. Like, you know... You got to remember, a lot of people going to see this movie didn't read the book. You know,
it literally was almost take the book, make it a movie.
Yeah.
That scene.
And I loved it. I thought it was great, because it was just like, you know, there's a moment in the movie where they work together and they somewhat defeat Pennywise. Like, there's a moment where Beth literally stabs him in the head with a big barbed wire, or not barbed wire, but a big spike. And boom, right in his face. And you start to see him transform into his monster, kind of. And there's a moment where Pennywise is like, oh, I can get through this. And he's like, I'm going to keep fighting. And he's like, nope, I got to get out of here. I'm injured. And he backs away and he goes.
Even during that battle, he transforms into her dad, that woman.
Yeah.
Like, he uses his other forms to try.
But he goes away. And then the kids are all like, oh, if we work together, well, two of the kids, Beth and Bill, are like, if we work together, we can defeat them. The rest of the kids, the other five kids, are like, screw this shit. I don't want to die.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to fight this thing. We almost died there. I don't want to die fighting them. And they go away for a month. Like, they all disperse for a month, and they just stop talking to each other for the most part. Well, then Beth gets kidnapped by Pennywise. I guess Pennywise, you know, heals himself. He's back to his full self, and he kidnaps Beth. And leaves a message for Billy. Like, if you come to get her, you will die. And he's like, screw it. He calls his friends, and all their friends are like, you know what? We're going to do it. We're going to get together. We gotta save Beth. You know, Beth was the one that pulled us together before. We're not going to save her.
At this point, it's bigger than us.
Exactly. So they get together, and they go down into the sewers to find Pennywise. And I think at that final battle, at that moment where they fight Pennywise, when they're all together fighting him, they truly believe, because we're together, we're going to beat them. Mm-hmm. But Pennywise then just rises up and starts utilizing, transforming into her dad, into the Jewish woman, into this, into that. You know, he's transforming in all these different forms. Not only that, but showing his monster form at times. You know, it's impressive, but I think people wanted it to be scary. And that's what I think people didn't like. I loved it, because there was moments where you're like, okay, the kids are going to, oh, nope, he's hurt. Oh, nope, he's hurt. Oh, no, she's hurt. Yeah, you know,
like, they're all eating shit.
Exactly. But they keep pushing forward. They keep pressing, because they know if they work together, if they can do this and continuously work together, they can get them. And that's, you know, that's what I liked about it. But I think people wanted it to be scary. This wasn't... Yeah, I think when people go into horror films and hear horror movies, they expect a final battle like in, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th or Halloween, you know, where that's
scary.
It's a payoff where you kill somebody, you know, or the enemy is killed, quote unquote, you know.
Followed by 13 sequels.
Exactly. I think that's where the marketing failed. I think they really truly needed to push that this was part one.
Yeah.
Whether it's part one of part two, part one of part three, how many parts?
I'm fine with them keep, if they can do it right.
Yeah.
If it's anything like this one and they want to make a part three, knock yourself out.
I think that they should have in the marketing said, you know, part one. Like,
yeah.
I think that's what they should have done, because I think people would have enjoyed the ending more knowing that there was a second part. Now, mind you, there is, once the movie is completely over and the screen turns black, and then comes up it, and it says chapter one. Now, in the theater, there are people that went, oh, are you serious?
And it's like, please.
Are you stupid?
Like, don't.
Like, literally, people were like that in the theater where I was at. So that was kind of annoying. But in all, I mean, that was the only moment, if you weren't a huge movie fan, if you're not somebody who pays attention to the internet like I do or Colton does and stuff like that, we knew there was going to be a part two.
Well, you've watched it from the 90s
and
everything else, so you knew.
Exactly. But I think a lot of people had no idea. And I kind of think that it was, you know, Warner Brothers was, they were kind of like, we don't know if we want to do a part two. Let's see how this first one does.
Oh, shit, they didn't do a part two.
You know, I don't think they weren't sure if this one was going to do well enough. So let's say we're going to do a part two, but let's not make it official until we see how this one does. I think that's kind of how it went. So
well, then we're getting a part two.
Once it started getting rave reviews, they're like, hey, slap that chapter one on the end there. You know, it was kind of like, I kind of wish they would have done it earlier. I think people would have liked the ending a bit more that way.
Well, that and the post-credit scene, quote unquote, I put up air quotes there.
Yeah.
Of what? Pennywise singing, what, kids singing.
And then Pennywise laughing. I mean, it gives away that, hey, he's not dead. Which.
Well, even the ending should have gave it away.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a.
I mean, it's a cliffhanger.
It's a cliffhanger. He's hanging off of a.
Literally.
But because he starts dissolving, you know, and you see that, and then he falls. You know, and when he falls, you know, you're kind of like, okay, he's dead. He's dissolving. He falls. So you can kind of think that could be a fitting end.
Yeah.
That could be, if they didn't want to make a part two, it could be a fitting end. But we know from the book, from the miniseries, we know that there's more to the story. And even in the movie, they're like, in 27 years, let's just promise each other that we will be back if Pennywise comes back. You know, so they even hint to, like, it's possible he may come back in 27 years.
Yeah.
You know, let's make a blood pack. And they make a blood pack to come back, all seven of them, if Pennywise comes back. So that's kind of like, you wouldn't do that unless you were like, you know, it's a possibility. You know?
Yeah.
So
I'd like to point out that the end battle, well, not the end battle, but the battle for the at the end of the movie did not play out like it did in the book. Not like you know, how they use the inhaler.
Oh,
that was a weakness, and the slingshot, like, they actually used weapons.
Yeah.
Like, I like that.
I think they had to do a little more.
That's more modern. That's a modernization there. But.
Yeah, a little bit. A couple other things real quick that I want to talk about negatives-wise. I don't think there's enough Pennywise. And I know...
No, there definitely wasn't.
I know you can only do so much because the story is about the kids.
Yeah.
But Pennywise and Bill Skarsgård's portrayal of Pennywise was so good, was so on point that I just want more. And that's why I can't wait for chapter two, because I just want more Pennywise. Like, I really want more.
I agree.
Sounds kind of sick and sadistic, but...
His Pennywise was questionably better than Tim Curry's.
Nah, he was definitely better than Tim Curry's. Yeah, he was better than Tim Curry's. Look, I love Tim Curry. I think he's a great actor, but... the 27-year cycle, it's quickly talked about two times. It's quickly, there's a moment where the fat kid, new kid. Well, I can't remember his name. Look, he's not on this list. Why is he not on this list?
Because he's new kid.
Too
new for the list.
He mentions, I noticed something while researching in the library that this happens this year, and then this year, and then this year. That's every 27 years. Oh, boy. And then they walk away.
Yeah, and then that's it.
And then they talk about it at the very end of the film. Kind of wanted to see more of that. Again, it was almost a 2.5-hour film, 2 hours, 10 minutes, something like that film, which is long for a horror movie, first of all. But
it was horror done right, so it doesn't matter.
But I want to see more of that kind of stuff. I want to understand more of this 27. Like, what was it that he was doing back then? Like, why haven't the parents done anything about it? That kind of stuff.
That's why I said if they wanted to do a part three, they could, because I read, well, not read, but it's part of like the multiverse theory thing that. It isn't a being, it's the spirit of Derry. So no matter, as long as Derry's there, it will be there, regardless if they kill him in part two or not.
Yeah.
So if they want to take that route, they could make a part three and a part four and a part five. Hopefully they don't, like, milk it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want them to milk it. But
if they can make tasteful part three and part four, I would be fine with it.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, like, I just want to hear more of that. Like, I want to know more of Pennywise's backstory. You know, why these parents? Because obviously the kids now who are being terrorized, their parents were terrorized at one point.
Yeah.
You know, why didn't they do anything about it? Why don't they say anything about it? You know, there's moments in the movie with the parents, like the one parent, the one who... shelters the kid with the inhaler and stuff like that. There's a moment where I'm like, she knows what's going on, and that's why she's sheltering him.
Yeah.
But then there's a moment where I'm like, well, maybe not. Maybe she's just an overprotective mom. You know, so it's like, do you forget as you get older? Is that something that happens? Like, what is it exactly? You know, I don't know. That's what I want to know. You know, I want to know why.
And that's when you can make the part three. You can just go back. And,
yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting. You know. Would be interesting.
It would explain his mom's character or something like that.
Yeah. I'd like that. Again, I went over the time jumps.
And then you can make a Stephen King It universe.
That'd be awesome. I'd be down for that.
A universe within a universe.
It's Universception.
That would be something.
Talked about the marketing. I mean, those were pretty much my negatives. There weren't many.
And again, the negatives aren't enough to pull you away from the movie.
For me, out of 5 remotes, for me... I give it 4.5 out of 5 remotes.
I agree.
The only reason why I don't... It loses that half only because of those negatives. You know, there wasn't enough Pennywise, which, again, you can only do so much. I get that. But the backstory of the 27 years wasn't enough, and they kind of dropped the ball with Mike's character. You know, they could have expanded more on him, I think. One thing that I didn't mention here, and I was kind of like, do I want to say this? Do I not want to say this? I am going to say it because I am kind of a stickler when it comes to music and movies.
Dropped
the ball with the music in this movie a little bit. There were some moments where it just felt out of place. There was moments where it was too loud. Just the editing with it, I felt wasn't good with the music. And it is what it is. I mean, that's not what the point of this movie was. I get that. But I felt that, yeah, the music could have been better with it.
No, 4.5 is very fair.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not everything can be the emoji movie, which I would give 5. But that was a joke. I'm sorry. Don't take me serious. But no, 4.5 is very... Even 4.75, I would go as far.
Who would you... Just we didn't talk about this prior, so this is catching you completely off guard, because we know part 2 or chapter 2 is going to be these kids 27 years later.
Yes.
So these kids who we have come to love and adore as these characters are not going to be these characters anymore. Who would you like to see portray these characters?
Oh dear in the next God! Movie? I got hold on.
No, no, no. Just off the
top let
of
me
your
pull
head.
Up a character list because I don't even know all their names.
All right, for Richie, I think. What the heck is his name? He played in... what the heck is his name? I can't remember his name now. This sucks.
Yeah, you get me on
He was in Fringe. He was in Fringe.
You know, I would
he
like
was
to
also,
see...
He was also Pacey in Dawson's Creek.
Oh, God. I'd like to see Hayden Christensen betray someone. Have him jump back into Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah. Joshua Jackson, jeez, he was also in the Mighty Ducks. I think he would be cool to play to take over the role of Richie, you know, who was the kid from Stranger Things. I think that would fit him pretty well.
I think Billy could be betrayed by Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, actually, I could see that.
I could see it.
Definitely see that.
Because that'd be his jump, but that'd be his comeback to Hollywood.
Yeah, well, his comeback to Hollywood's going to be this December.
Well, you know, nah, that's making a statement, but that's not confirmed.
Not confirmed. Honestly, this one is out of the realm of possibility. But the chick, Beth, I think at moments when I was watching her on screen, I saw Amy Adams in her.
No, I could see that.
And while I think it chapter 2 might be a little below Amy Adams at this point in her career, I think that it would be really cool to have somebody of her caliber in that movie, because it would take it to another level. You know, it would like, yes, it's a horror, it's a scary thriller, but look, we can get a cast member Amy Adams.
We can get
you know, an A-list actor.
Yeah.
You know, an
actress. I wanted to finish my statement. I forgot.
You know, that's, you know, what I was looking at there. I think for new kid, you know, who I would think would be really cool is, what's his name? Not Josh Gad, but the other fat guy that's out there now. He's in Fantastic Beasts. I'm terrible with remembering some of these names here. Dan Fogler, I think would be really cool. He was also in Fanboys. You know, I think because he's again, I'm kind of typecasting him because he's a little large, but I think that would work really well. You know, he's not an A-list actor. I think he would be fine. And while he doesn't exactly look like New Kid, I think it's just they need to get actors who look close enough, just give you, okay, he's bigger. Okay, he must be who the new kid was.
Yeah.
You know, and can act, and who is a good actor. And I think he would be really cool in that role. I do. You know who else would be, again, probably below him, but who else would be really good as Billy, if not Hayden Christensen? Ezra Miller.
No, that would be good.
That would be really good. But he's a little young also. He's only in his 20s. So, you know, we're looking at people who need to be in their late 30s, early 40s. But... you know,
well, Hayden Christensen's not that old, is he?
Yeah,
I know he's in his 30s.
Late 30s, I think.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I didn't think he was that old.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's just some things. Maybe get John Boyega to play Mike. I don't know.
That would be... Get Daisy Ridley to play Beth.
No.
Just like recast Beth. Star Wars for it. Han Solo is the new Pennywise.
Aw.
I don't know if I'd like that.
No. I think I would skip chapter 2.
I'd still see it. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know, man. Do you have anything else with our review? Do you have any final words?
Go see it. Do yourself the favor.
Look, I had my problems with it. It took me a little while. Like, after I saw it the other day, or you know, yesterday, I left the theater, and I'm just sitting there like...
Yeah, you text me. I don't know how I feel about
it. I really didn't know how I felt about it, because... I went in there with my expectation of getting scared, and I wasn't scared. But when I sat back and I started to dwell on the movie...
It's a good movie.
It is a good movie. It's just
mislabeled.
Movie. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people talk, and you'll hear the comparisons to the movie Stand By Me. Absolutely. It is a coming of age story with a group of kids, you know, who are friends, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, it, go see it. 4.5 remotes from the remote control. Definitely check it out because I think you'll enjoy it. Don't go in there expecting a movie where you're going to be scared shitless. Don't go into a movie expecting a lot of gore because you're not going to get it. You're just going to get a good story, character driven, just very good. And you know, I give props to Andy Muschietti because he's stuck to the story. He stuck to it. He didn't modernize it. He didn't say, oh, you know what, we're going to change it to modern day. No, he stuck to the 80s theme. He stuck to pushing it through like that because it just works.
And
so
he had
well.
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah. There was, well, not him himself, but he had.
Yeah, the movie had big shoes to fill.
So check it out.
Rotten Tomatoes, the score dropped a little bit. It's still an 86%.
Oh, okay.
It was 91%.
That's not bad. I'm not surprised. I figure it's going to drop probably a little bit more. I think it'll probably finish around like 81, 82-ish, probably
but
around there.
That's still a fair assessment.
Yeah, and the fact that it's making all this money, you know. Yeah. I just hope they get all of the cast, or not all the cast, but Bill Skarsgård back. I hope they get Andy Muschietti back to direct, you know, everything. Just try and recapture this again. And
This is how remakes should be.
Oh, exactly.
Do not modernize it. Stick to the story. Make it better.
Yeah. Yeah. Just surround it with a good, strong cast.
Exactly.
Good, strong cast.
And this goes to show, even kids.
Yeah. Oh,
are
kids.
Part.
Well, I mean, Stranger Things showed us that last
year. Haven't watched Stranger Things.
And speaking of going back to shows that I'm looking forward to this fall, Stranger Things Season 2. But, yeah.
I mean, I don't really have anything else.
Okay. Well, with that said, I've been Robert at The Remote Control. You can find us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook, The Remote Control. The links will be down below. You can also find us on Twitter at The Remote Control. That's at The Remote, C-O-N-T-R-L. You can find Colton on Twitter
at WhiteRuby53.
You can find me on Twitter at RSlavinsky. But besides that, we will see you or talk to you next week. Enjoy.